If you've never been to the Rock Shop on Godfredson, get ready to be amazed. To experience the Rock Shop is to see how utterly beautiful your home can be. From a magnificent collection of brick pavers to unlimited possibilities of retaining walls, slate patios, statuary, and fountains. The Rock Shop on Godfredson has it all, and they'll teach you to install for free. You'll get one-to-one instruction, no charge. The Rock Shop serves the entire Southeast Michigan area as a full supplier of landscaping supplies and materials. Their selection spans across more than 12 acres of property, making the Rock Shop one of the largest hard landscape supply companies in Michigan. Make sure to stop by the Rock Shop in Plymouth, north of M14 at exit 15, southwest corner of Godfredson Road and North Territorial. Check online at rock-shop.com. That's rock-shop.com. rockshoppe.com. Or call 734-455-5560.
Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good Sunday morning. I'm expecting people to think that I'm angry this morning, Derek, after the election this week. But I'm not angry. Are you angry? Yeah, maybe a little bit. Okay, so no, I'm not. I mean, it was a tough election to watch. But I guess I was wrong. What did I predict? 5% for Romney. But you know what? I can say I was wrong. I was wrong. I didn't take into effect that a lot of people still didn't like our candidate, I think. And that's part of it. I mean, statistics, I think we've been seeing stories that 2 to 3 million people who voted in the 2008 election for McCain didn't show up for Romney. That's pretty astounding. Anyways, welcome to the show. 734-822-1600. Love to have your phone calls and thoughts today on the election. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to talk about the future, because we do have 4 more years, of course, with Barack Hussein Obama, and we're going to have to do what we do. So what we do here at The Drift every day, or every Sunday, is go through the week's events. Now, you can go to currentonline.com and click on The Daily Drift, and you'll find the connections and links to all the different websites that that I peruse to try and bring you the most concise information that you need to have available to you. So feel free to call in, or you can email me if you don't feel like calling in. Just want to send your comments to me anytime, gary@thedailydrift.com. Now, we've got a new website coming out. Less than a month, I hope, to get it ready. It probably won't be perfect, but it will be a step in the right direction from what we have had. So look forward to that. It'll be thedailydrift.com. Right now it's really just the radio, but it should get much better. Excuse me. So email or call in. Give us your thoughts and opinions. Our sponsor this half hour is The Rock Shop. You can go to rock-shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.com. Now, Marco and Helena Scapatici run a great hardscape business out at Godfredson Road and just north of M14 at North Territorial. And all kinds of hardscape supplies, pavers, brick wall, paver walls. And right now, Rocktoberfest is still on for a little bit, I think. And you can get up to 50% off of garden benches, fountains, that kind of stuff. So a great place to stop in and spend a few minutes. It's right on your way if you're driving M14. Stop in and check out some of the cool statuary they have there. And what's nice about the Rock Shop is they actually teach you for free how to install it. So they'll sell you the right material for your application. They'll teach you for free how to install it. And they're just good people. So, you know, they're patriots. They support this show, which is pretty awesome. And I think that's something we all need to do. Derek, I don't have my computer set up right, so I guess we're just going to have to go with line one and hope that it's somebody we really want to talk to. Good morning. Who's this?
Hi, Gary.
Jenny, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, good. How are you feeling about that election?
Well, I'm just keeping my head up. I'm going to keep going. I don't know how, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that's what we all have to do. I mean, we got four more years. The way I look at it is this. You know, I thought we had hit rock bottom, but the fact is, as Americans, as a country on a whole, we are spending addicts. We are a consumer society that wants, wants, wants. Give me, give me, give me. And I think, you know, a lot of people in this election have been getting. When Romney says 47% of the population of this country are takers, they're people who get something from the government. And let's face the fact, I think it's 47% of the people in this country pay no federal income tax.
Yeah.
And that means they're probably people who are getting something. Now, yeah, the worst times of my adult life, I've been under poverty level. And yet I still paid like 25% of my income tax on $14,000.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't one of those takers, obviously. So I don't know who those people are. But they obviously voted in droves for Barack Hussein Obama. And we've all seen the craziness on TV and on the internet of the people with their Obama phones and whatever else they're getting, and their government cheese or whatever it is. But when you have that many people on the government dole, they're going to vote to continue that. Who wouldn't? It's common sense. I'm going to vote for what's giving me, you know?
Well, I'd like to say something.
Sure.
And I'm not going to – don't disrespect me. You didn't disrespect my brother Ken in the Lord last week. I respect him for what he did. I respect him for voting the way he did because I know that – I know about Mormonism, okay? I know that it's not a good thing. If you know, I don't want to go into it, but it's not. And I respect the Christians that didn't vote for Romney because of that. I went the other way only because I wanted Obama out, and it didn't work. But I respect the people that did what they did.
Yeah, I mean, I can respect, hey, if you voted for Obama, man, you get what you vote for. I think, you know, in the 4 years coming, those people will regret that as well.
Yeah, Romney, and maybe the Lord wouldn't want me to do that, and I have asked him for forgiveness.
Right.
And I know that sounds weird to you, but you know, I respect the people like Ken who did what he did.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I don't knock people for their votes. You know what I mean? I think they're crazy sometimes for the way they voted. I think you did the right thing, Jenny, so don't feel bad about it at all. I don't know enough about Mormonism. You know, I always thought they were just Christians who had a couple extra gospels, Derek.
No, they're not Christian at all.
Well, I don't know. You go to their website and it says they're Christians. Anyone that reads the book and believes in Jesus Christ, I think, has got to be a Christian. They may not be the same type of Christian as somebody else, but, you know.
Well,
I mean, Catholics are Christians, but they're way different than Episcopalians
Lutherans. I'm telling you, Mormon really isn't Christian.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to do a show on that, Jenny. I tell you what, this is the second show in a row we've had this question come up. And you know what? I hate being ignorant on the fact of what it is. So I'm going to go out and find a Mormon and get them in here. And maybe we'll have Pastor Richard Dietering come in and talk with him as well. And maybe get a Catholic. I can maybe even get my own pastor to come in and talk to us about it too, because I think this is something that needs to be clarified. If someone says they believe in Jesus Christ, I got to take their word at it that they're Christians.
But
I mean,
well, he doesn't. The Mormons don't believe that Jesus is God, and Christians do. Mormons believe that Jesus is a man, or was a man.
Okay. Well, we're banding semantics, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I need to question my own beliefs at that point.
I think you do.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, people voted the way they voted, and I just want Ken to know that I would never bash him.
Yeah, I'm not bashing Ken. I mean, I think you voted wrong. For me and Ken, he didn't bring religion up until that last show. Prior to that, he was always saying Romney wasn't conservative enough. And then just the other day, I heard him on somebody's talk show saying that he wouldn't have voted for Romney even if he was a Lutheran. So, I don't know where Ken's at all in all on that. But
I
don't want to bash Ken. Ken is always welcome to call in. I respect his opinions even when they're different than mine. And I respect yours. And I'm so glad, Jenny, that you voted.
Well, I did. And, you know, I have to deal with my conscience against who the Lord is, but you know, I wanted Obama out.
Right.
But anyway, it might do you well to learn about these cults.
I'm going to do that. You know, this is the second show that's come up this way, and I had a discussion at work with some people too, and pulled up some stuff. And you know, I think we need to figure this out. So I don't want anyone bashing Mormons, please, until we get some information. I'm not a hate religious hate station. You know,
no,
what I mean?
I'm not either.
So,
but I want the truth. I know that, you know, I want to learn the truth, and I have. In a lot of ways, about other cults and things, and you know, you—that's all I need to say. You know,
okay. Yep.
People voted the way they did,
right? Okay.
And I have nothing personally against anyone,
right? Okay. Well, thanks, Jenny, for your call. I appreciate it. We've got Ken calling in. I want to take Ken's call before we go into a break. Thanks, Jenny.
Okay. Thanks,
Ken. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, doing fine. I just wanted to bring up, since you're talking about Mormonism.
Okay, give us your take.
I just wanted to simplify it for you.
Keep it quick, because we got a bunch of calls lining up. Obviously, this is a delicate subject.
Okay. Well, when you look at the Bible itself, and you go through the Bible itself, it clearly teaches the concept of the Holy Trinity.
Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I get it. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. The Mormon Church completely rejects the Trinity. The Mormon Church calls us that believe in the Trinity, teach the Trinity, as whores. And
keep it clean for me.
You got to look at the fact that both the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and all the Protestant and Lutheran churches correctly identify the God of the Bible being the triune God. And one other thing, it says in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it deals with, St. Paul is saying that whether I or an angel from heaven come to you and bring a gospel contrary to what you've already been taught, a teaching contrary to what you've already been taught.
Okay.
Let them be damned.
Right, right.
And my point is that Joseph Smith created Mormonism. He wrote the Book of Mormon, you know, to add this to the Holy Scriptures, which he had no right, no divine right. And so that's why we traditional, true Christians, Trinitarian Christians, completely reject, even though we believe in religious freedom, we reject the idea that they are Christian.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks, Ken. Appreciate the edification. We're going to have to do a show on this one way or the other, but I appreciate the call. Let's move on to Wes calling on line 3. Wes, how are you this morning?
Great. How you doing, Gary?
Great, great. Wes, how are you feeling about that election?
I'd say disappointed with you putting it mildly, but it is what it is, and I think the most shocking statistic is that I think 2 or 3 million fewer people voted for Romney.
Yeah, there were some articles coming out. They call it the case of the missing white voters. And I think that's – I don't think they're particularly white. We're such a mixed race now anyways. I don't know who's white and who's brown or who's what anymore. But you're right. It's amazing that 2 to 3 million – and I want to delve into that. So you're going to talk with us for a while, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We've got John Hargenrader, the Libertarian candidate coming out of Livingston County there, and I think he lost. We're going to get him online. Derek, can we do both Wes and John at the same time? Okay, we're going to get Wes and John on time. That new caller, boy, the lines are just lighting up this morning. Obviously, religion is a hot point for everybody, isn't it, Wes?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see if we can drag John in here and get a little roundtable going. John, welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good, Gary. How are you doing?
Good, good. We got Wes on the other line. So I've got our Tea Party guy, Wes, and I've got John, the Libertarian, was running. You didn't win, correct, John?
No, I didn't, and I honestly think the results were quite good and as expected.
What was your percentage?
18%, just like the last time in District 1, right on the money.
Right. Well, so gentlemen, let's ask you this. I mean, obviously, something went wrong in the election. Romney didn't pull the 2 to 3 million votes he needed to win this election, and a lot of those, and I talked to a a white voter, a young man, a middle class guy who voted for Obama. He told me he wasn't proud of it particularly, but he said, "Yeah, I voted." And I said, "Why did you vote?" He said, "Well, he helped me with I wouldn't be driving the nice car if I hadn't gotten the cash for clunkers. I wouldn't be getting this particular deduction for my daughter if it weren't for him, and I wouldn't have been able to move into this new home if it weren't for him." And I thought, "So your vote was bought?" "Yes." And he just admitted it. He said, "Yes, I couldn't have done it without him, so I voted for him." I mean, what do we have to do as, you know, I'm not sure the Republican Party can do anything anymore, because you do have the libertarians on the right side. You've got our Tea Party guys on the right side, and even the Tea Party's kind of, John or Wes, you tell me, the Tea Party's got a number of factions in it, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, there's not, you know, it's not a monolithic organization, far from it. I mean, you know, just as a case in point, you know, Proposition 5, which was the, you know, the requiring the supermajority to get a tax increase through, in my view, that was a no-brainer, that everybody should be able to embrace that one, and that within the Tea Party itself, there was split. That one just surprised me to no end, surprised me and disappointed me. But, yeah, so it's not monolithic, that's for sure.
Right, right. And so, John, what's your take on Prop 5? Now, that was Prop 5 was a two-thirds, taking a two-thirds majority vote to raise our taxes. Everybody in the state should have said yes. It's going to make it harder for them to raise our taxes. I'm voting yes on that one, but they didn't.
Well, you know, I think I'll be honest with you. I voted no on all the proposals because
okay.
I think none of them really rise to the level of constitutional muster to me. And I think, if you look at the U.S. Constitution, it's four pages long. A constitution is a framework for how government works. It's the book of rules and order. It's not meant to be a piece of legislation. And I think the Michigan Constitution is now up to 64 pages, and it's been used since, you know, it was redone back in the 60s to implement legislation by special interests. And that trend is not just in Michigan, but countrywide. And I think we need to look at what the real purpose of a constitution is.
Ooh, we lost Wes, I think, on that one. Well, I think you're right. And I'll take that explanation, John, because I think you're making a lot of sense. A constitution, number one, should be short. Our laws should be short and simple. And for that to be 64 pages long is pretty unrealistic. So I'll accept that explanation and agree with you on that. I'm not sure that any of them rose to that level as well. And I voted yes on certain ones just because I thought, you know what, the iron is hot. I'm going to strike it, and I'm going to go to try and fix these things. That's why I voted yes on those. I'll agree with you. I don't think they went to the level to be in the Constitution.
We can look at it very simply this way, that both Tea Partiers and Democrats and Republicans and Libertarians and all sorts of other people can agree that the U.S. Constitution is very good, and they agree every part of it.
Right.
You don't have to have a particular affiliation or belief or background to agree that the framework of the U.S. Constitution, the powers given to Congress, are all very good, that we all believe in the amendments. We don't have to argue about them. I don't see any Democrats or Republicans arguing about portions of the U.S. Constitution. And we shouldn't do that in Michigan. We should have a framework that we all agree on, or the rules we will, execute our orderly society by, and leave the day-to-day and time-to-time management to those people who are empowered as elected officials through the legislature and the governor.
Right.
I think the bridge issue, issues of taxation, these are all things that changed with the tide and with our needs. And, bridges wear out and tax structures have to change. And so These are management issues, and we allow our elected officials to do that. And if we don't like the way that we do that, heck, we have elections every 2 years. And that's really, I think, the best way to implement those things is to be informed about what our folks in Lansing as representatives think about a bridge.
Okay, got it.
And let's do their job.
Right. So, Wes, here's the problem for me, I guess. If we have to now battle 47%, probably more than that, getting close to 50%, excuse me, if not over, how do we pull our libertarians, our Tea Partiers, our independents who may be a little more moderate, who may be in the center. How do we pull that into an umbrella? How do we make that tent bigger? And I'm not saying it has to be a Republican tent anymore, because I don't know that the Republicans have enough brains to become the modern party that it needs to become. Well, how do you do that, Wes? How do you bring the Tea Party and the Libertarians together?
I think, you know, in terms of growing that tent, I mean, I've thought about it a lot over the last few days. And, you know, the only idea that I can come up, because it's hard to battle Santa Claus. I mean, the Democrats are Santa Claus, and they have the ability to, you know, dole out things. And on our side, the Tea Party, the Libertarians, the Conservatives, they're just not going to do that. So how do you battle Santa Claus? I think that you have to really focus on individual liberty and the benefit that, you know, and getting government out of things like what I'm going to call crony capitalism, where the people in power are giving away, you know, on our side of the aisle, people in power are giving away money to corporations, to special interests that, you know, for, you know, economic development. They'll say it's for jobs. You know, the Mackinac Center would call it corporate welfare. I think that's something that would resonate with the electorate. As you said, we really are going to be the party of limited government. We are going to structure ourselves and get out of this position of picking winners or losers with tax policy, with economic policy. I think that message would resonate.
Okay, got it. So then let's add into the mix here. Derek, can we bring in Mike real quick? Wes and John, can you guys hang with me through this and through this next break as well?
Sure.
Okay, I want to get Mike's take, because he's got the election and a religious thing again, because I think this is all part of the mix. I think a lot of people didn't vote because of this religious portion to it. Mike, welcome to the show. We've got John Hargenrader, a Libertarian candidate, and Wes Nakagiri from the Tea Party, retakeourgov.org, I think it is. Mike, what's your comment? Oh, we got him? We don't have him. We must have lost him. Mike, call back in after the break. We're going to go to a break in a few minutes. But you guys have been listening to the show. You've heard there is some religious extent to this discontent with the election. How do we put that in there? You know, how do we work that religious or take it out in a fashion? For me, it was the end of that last week. We had a phone call. And I think it was Ken who brought that up into it again. And I had no idea that was on so many people's mind, that a Mormon is different somehow than, I mean, we've elected a guy that some people call a Muslim president. I don't know. Barack Obama claims to be a Christian, but we've never seen his baptism records. They're sealed for some crazy reason. How do we deal with religion in today's election?
You know, I guess I have a take on that. No one can tell me what denomination Ronald Reagan was.
Yeah, you're right. I can't. I know I can't.
And I think that's really the problem you're hitting on. When you have someone that has a very strong, unique religious belief that is very well known, was a bishop of their church. I mean, to me, you know, would you elect a Catholic bishop or a Protestant bishop to the presidency of the United States? I think some people see that aligns someone with a particular structure, and
right.
Not that that's bad, but it will alienate some people and it will attract some people. I think one thing you have to recognize is that this was taken on with John Kennedy, and it was a big issue at the time.
Yeah, because he was the first, you know, first Catholic, and people are like, oh, he's going to follow the Pope's word. He's going to do what the Pope says. Come on.
Right. If your religion is associated very strongly with your name, you're going to have to defend it or dispel it. And you know, that came up with the Reverend Jim Wright. Barack Obama had to dispel that. But Ronald Reagan never had those challenges because his writings for 10 years and his radio show were focused on world politics and his own, in what he saw as the most important things. And I think you could say the same with Obama, frankly, that no one really questions him on religion because it's not a very visible portion of his life. His kids go to a Quaker school in Washington, D.C., and if you look, Richard Nixon was a Quaker. but no one ever asked him because it wasn't something that he advertised. I think, you know, one of the things Mitt Romney should have recognized going into this is that if he keeps talking about his religion, that he's going to have to defend it.
Right.
And what he should have done is he should have downplayed it.
Yeah. I didn't really see him talk that much about the Mormonism. You know what I mean? I just didn't see it. So I'm kind of astounded.
You know, in the debates, as a leader of his church, as a leader of his ward, as a bishop in his church, I mean, he used those words quite a bit on the campaign trail when it was in an audience that was, he thought, more favorable to it. And then, you know, so, you know, there's no doubt that he did a lot of good work and charitable work with his organization. And so he was proud of it, and
right.
He was, you know, it also came up in a different light with the Vietnam era and the fact that he chose
okay.
to go on a missionary trip.
Right. Hang tight. Hang tight, John. John and Wes, hang in there. Mike, we got this hard break. I want you to hang on as well. I'm going to get your comments in right after we get back. Gentlemen, sit tight.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Carib McHugh. On New York's Long Island, tens of thousands are still waiting for the lights to come back on long after Hurricane Sandy has passed.
Folks here living without electricity, and LIPA's the power company out here in Long Island. 86% of their customers lost power, and right now 126,000 people still on Long Island, LIPA customers, without power. And it's almost been 2 weeks. Governor Cuomo said that LIPA, quote, failed customers, threatening to replace the management.
Fox's Ainsley Earhart in Oceanside, New York. NASCAR action shifts to the Phoenix Motor Speedway today for the next to last race of the Sprint Cup Championship Series. Jimmie Johnson's got a 7-point lead.
7 points is nothing to feel comfortable about and to relax on, so. You know, we're still going to go into Phoenix and act as if we're behind.
Brad Keselowski's right behind Johnson. Today's race is the Advocare 500 on ESPN. Fox News, we report, you decide.
If you've never been to the Rock Shop on Gottfredson, get ready to be amazed. To experience the Rock Shop is to see how utterly beautiful your home can be. From a magnificent collection of brick pavers to unlimited possibilities of retaining walls, slate patios, statuary, and fountains. The Rock Shop on Gottfredson has it all, and they'll teach you to install for free. You'll get one-to-one instruction, no charge. The Rock Shop serves the entire Southeast Michigan area as a full supplier of landscaping supplies and materials. Their selection spans across more than 12 acres of property, making the Rock Shop one of the largest hard landscape supply companies in Michigan. Make sure to stop by the Rock Shop in Plymouth, north of M14 at exit 15, southwest corner of Gottfredson Road and North Territorial. Check online at rock-shop.com. That's rock-shop.com. rock-shoppe.com or call 734-455-5560.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham's Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour, followed by the Christian Science Sentinel at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ for their live weekly service. Finally, we visit the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor from 11 to noon. Start your week off right with Wham Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Sunday morning, and thank you for catching my drift. We're juggling three phone calls right now. We've got John on line one. John, you're still there, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Wes, you're still there, right?
Yes.
And welcome, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Gary.
Hey, we've got him. Good. Oh, we lost Wes that time. But anyways, we're doing all right. So, Mike, what's your question?
Well, my question is not so much a question as a comment.
Okay.
I find it strange. You know, the pilgrims and the original people who came to the United States from Europe came here for religious freedom. And now, 200 and some years later, we find people in this country challenging a man's faith in God. I don't think there's any one of us that can, that knows what God is thinking and has the right to say how a man worships God, period. Mitt Romney was not my first choice. Rick Santorum was. But as the time went by, as the months went by, I discovered about Mitt Romney something very important. He was a very good, he was an honest man, and he was a moral man.
Amen to that.
And to me, to hear him being slandered and his religion to be slandered, I'm a Roman Catholic. I find, would Ken find something wrong with Mother Teresa? I'm sure he probably would. As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Romney did a great job as a candidate. He would have made a great president. He had a fantastic man as vice president, Paul Ryan. And to now sit here and go after the man's religion and faith, you do not have the right, none of us have the right, to challenge a man's faith in God, period.
Right. I'll agree with you on that. Because
yeah.
I was really flabbergasted when I heard that some people were really not voting for him because he's a Mormon. I thought to myself, what if he was a Muslim? What happens when a Muslim runs for president? You might end up with there are good Muslims out there.
Of course there are.
You know, there are good Buddhists out there. What happens when we get our first Buddhist running for president?
May I tell you a little story?
Tell me.
When you talk about Muslims, I happen to be Croatian. And about 20 years ago, there was a war in the old Yugoslavia. There was a Catholic shrine called the Shrine of Medjugorje. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's in Herzegovina. And the Yugoslav army was attacking that shrine. Our boys were outnumbered. We had about 220 of our men defending the shrine. In a three-day forced march from Sarajevo, 800 Muslims came to fight alongside Roman Catholics to defend a Roman Catholic shrine. About 120 men were killed, both Croats and Muslims. They are buried in a common grave, brothers whose blood was the same color, red. Period.
You know, that's a great story. How come we don't hear that kind of story? Why don't we hear that kind of stuff on the news, Mike?
Well, because basically, to be honest with you, America is blind to anything that happens outside its borders. But what I'm getting at is someone like Ken, you say this is the first time you heard Ken say that he was against him because he was Mormon. Ken has been against him, and I have held my tongue as long as I can. Ken has been against Mitt Romney for his Mormon religion. He has been on Bennett's show against it. He has been on Rush Limbaugh against it. He has been on every radio station. He was even kicked off a midnight show, radio station, WJR, because of his comments about Mormonism.
Right.
You cannot sit there and judge a man's faith in God. You do not have the right. God will make the judgment on the final day. I'm Roman Catholic. I look at someone, if they're a Muslim, if they're a Protestant, a Trinitarian, a Presbyterian, I don't care. As long as you believe in God, God is the final judge. You are not the judge.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll take that, Mike. Thank you so much for your
sure.
call. That's awesome, and appreciate your call. And I think you're right. We shouldn't be judging our votes on a presidential election based on a man's religion. That's me. I mean, it's a free country. Yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, it's on you. I don't agree with it, but I think you're right. And in the end, we cut our nose to spite our face when we allow Barack Hussein Obama to continue in office instead of Mitt Romney, who I believe would have been a great candidate. You know, John, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm still here today.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm not juggling the phones.
You know,
well.
I didn't get an opportunity to say thank you for the endorsement in your newspaper, Gary.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, I believe in common sense. You know, I think that's what more of us need to. You got to put religion aside. You got to put a lot of stuff aside and use your common sense. I mean, I was amazed that people who voted for Obama were voting for him simply because they got something. Well, they got something short term, but long term, I told this young gentleman who voted for him, I said, that's great. You got a couple of things, but your daughter now inherited probably another $80,000 in debt over the next 4 years and her own personal amount that she's going to owe. And he kind of just blinked at me. Where's the common sense in that?
I don't know if there is any, but I do think, you know, just from your comments in the post-election follow-up, I think there's a general consensus that regardless of the outcome of the presidential election, when you look at the debate during the congressional elections, that the debt situation has to be reckoned with.
Right.
And I think more and more people in society are talking about it and realizing that, you know, some of the debate during the races, even at the presidential level and during the Republican primaries, about the looming debt crisis and where we're at in terms of borrowing. I think people are far more aware of it today than they were before this election, which is good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to take some serious sitting down, and we lost Wes, but Wes, if you're still listening, I'd like to get together. I think maybe the three of us should sit down and have coffee and try and put our heads together as to how do we get a bigger tent, whether you call it a Republican tent or a conservative tent or a common sense tent. How do we get the people who have some common sense under one tent and voting for a common cause, which is balancing the darn budget? Because as far as I'm concerned, all this other nonsense about religion or where you're spending and who you're taking care of is not part of the main issue right now. We should have been balancing the budget. That's what this election should have been about.
Yeah, and I think some of it in the congressional races certainly was, because we heard lots of talk about it. And at the national level, though, you're right, it was not a key element. But, you know, I think there's a little bit of a hangover effect, too. You know, we saw Bill Clinton speak very well at the Democratic National Convention, but we didn't see George Bush speak at the Republican. I think one of Mitt Romney's unfortunate handicaps is he did have to overcome some of the negative remaining views associated with the Bush era that the GOP has not been able to shed.
Right.
And that handicap is something that I think was unfortunate for him. I honestly don't see as much of the religious issue as part of the vote as what's been discussed. I think that certainly there are extremists out there that will be on radio, and Wes is right that those comments are misplaced, you know, by those that are a little bit on the fringe area.
Right.
But I think, in general, I did not see it in a negative light. I thought when Romney spoke about his background and, you know, that it was viewed very positively. So,
right.
I didn't see anything negative about that. I mean, he's proud of it, and it's certainly, you know,
yeah, I must have been missing it because I didn't really see a whole lot of it. But I guess I've kind of lost my train of thought. I'm trying to think of a way to get people on the same track, because we now have 4 more years of Obama, and many business owners have stated, you know what, if we got 4 more years of Obama and Obamacare is going to go into effect, I'm laying people off. And in the last 3 days, we've seen a list, just a giant list. If you go to thedailydrift.com or currentonline.com and click on the Daily Drift, you'll see the stories of companies that are laying off. I mean, Energizer's laying off 1,500 people, Exide Technologies 150, Westinghouse 50, 200 people out of Research and Motion. The list goes on and on. We're talking thousands and thousands of people are going to be laid off. U.S. Cellular is going to lay off 8,400 people. I'm astounded that people – it's not like we didn't know this was going to happen, right, John?
Well, I think I knew that was going to happen before the election, I think regardless of the outcome. Research in Motion, the BlackBerry makers, have a little bit of ongoing crisis. And you're right. The economy is not on the upswing yet as much as people like to wish it. So going into this fourth quarter, I work in the semiconductor industry, you know, so I guess I – regardless of the outcome of the election, I think there was going to be in the fourth quarter a downturn. How to turn that around, you know, whether if the outcome of the election would have been different, that it would have steered differently, I guess that's always possible. I did see some comments by business owners that specifically stated that they view the repercussions of certain impacts of healthcare costs that negatively, and that they will have to trim based on that. And I guess that's their view, and they're the ones that know those numbers and what those costs will be. And hopefully, as that happens, that comes to the table. And just like with the reporting issue of 1099 individuals in 2010, it will be withdrawn. Even though Obama, fortunately, when he was approached with that aspect of the health care bill, agreed to sign legislation to take that out. So I think the pressure, I mean, we're stuck with what we have, so the pressure should be for those business owners to bring those things to light so we're more informed about them. I'm not as informed as I'd like to be, and let's take those things out. We can't, you know, if we're not going to take it off the table altogether, let's find out what's wrong with it and go fix it.
Right.
Before it's too late.
Right. That makes common sense. That makes common sense. And hopefully, he got reelected. I'm giving him, you know, some months to put things together. And if he doesn't compromise, if he sticks to his leftist roots, then I'm going to be back to bashing Obama. Well, it's not like I'm going to give up. I'm going to bash him in the next few minutes here anyways. But I think it requires some compromise. And I, like I said, the tent needs to get bigger if you want to defeat the takers in society who are voting because they're getting something. I'm mystified. I really am. But I guess I shouldn't be. Well, John, go ahead.
Back to the Carter era, you know.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter promised everybody $50. People forget that, but he promised everybody an economic stimulus. If you filed an income tax form, even if you didn't have any income, you'd get a check for $50. I don't know if you remember that.
I was probably quite young at the time, but it does ring a bell. So, yeah, $50, then, like that would go anywhere today.
He said it was no longer necessary.
Right. Yeah, $50 wouldn't fill a gas tank now. That's the craziest of things. But
I know I have relatives that voted for Jimmy Carter to get their $50.
Right. It's amazing, isn't it?
It does work.
Yeah, buying certainly your...
You tell people you're going to reward their wallet, it's easier to get their vote.
Right. All right, well, John, thank you so much. I'm going to run into a quick break here, and we'll have to have you. I want to get you and Wes in the studio with me. I got to give you guys a little more notice, but we'll do that and certainly get a little round table going here over the next few months.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Gary.
Great. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go into a break, Derek, and when we come back, we're going to hit some of this national news and give you some of the bad news, I guess. So, see you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The 40th annual Noel Night will take place on Saturday, December 1st from 5 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. in Midtown Detroit's Cultural Center area. Over 75 institutions, including the Detroit Institute of Arts, the Michigan Science Museum, amongst many others, opened their doors to the public free of charge during this Cultural Center-wide holiday open house. Activities include horse-drawn carriage rides, holiday shopping, family craft activities, and much more. The evening's festivities culminate with a community sing-along on Woodward Avenue led by the Salvation Army Band, a long-standing Noel Night tradition. For additional information, call 313-420-6000 or visit MidtownDetroitInc.org. If you've been looking for an opportunity to earn your CPL permit certificate and a chance to show your support for Senator Patrick Kolbeck, this is the event for you. The Firing Line will conduct a day-long class that will provide you with the certificate you need to apply to the state for your permit. It'll be Saturday, December 1st from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. It'll be at the Firing Line located at 33,000 Ford Road in Westland. The price is $160 per person, which is a $15 discount from the normal fee. This includes range time and course material. Space is limited. For questions or to confirm your participation, please contact Tom at tom@rattlewithus.com. Ammunition will be available for purchase. Checks should be made out to Friends of Patrick Kolbeck and Our American Heritage. No corporate checks or cash, please.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. The
Salvation Army and Wham! Talk 1600 are pleased to present the 6th annual 1600 Toys for 1600 Girls and Boys Christmas Toy Drive. We need your help to make sure every needy child in Washtenaw County has a happy holiday. Toys are needed for young teens, too. Games, CDs, DVDs, sports equipment, jewelry, and makeup. You can donate a new unwrapped toy to one of our sponsor locations. In Ann Arbor, Gold Crown Jewelers, Dixboro General Store, USA Hockey, Two Men in a Truck, George Meyer Company, Kmart, Garris, and Garris Law, Hogback Office Center, Cozy Home Solutions, Treasure Mart, in Ypsilanti, Gene Butman Ford, Michigan Firehouse Museum, Kmart, Dr. Michael Singleton, DDS Celine. Together, we can collect 1,600 toys for 1,600 girls and boys. The 6th annual 1,600 Toys for 1,600 Girls and Boys Christmas Toy Drive. You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Well, welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift. Now, this Mormon question, before we move on, I just want to settle this in my mind. I went to Mormon.org and pulled up the website, and they got a spot for Jesus Christ where you can see their beliefs. And it says right here on their web page, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and the Son of God. He is our Redeemer. It says they believe in the resurrection. They believe that the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So I don't know what other people are reading, but to me that sounds like the same teachings I got in the Episcopal Church. So I don't know what you're reading online or what you're thinking about Mormonism, but it sure looks like Mormons believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and that if you want to get to heaven, you got to believe in Jesus Christ too. So I don't know. If you want to bandy semantics about the Trinity and delve deep into their holy teachings, that's on you. But as far as I'm concerned, Mormons are Christians. That's what it says right here on the web page. I mean, I highly doubt they're out lying about what they do on their web page. But anyways, let's move on because I don't want to berate anybody else or have people call in and start bagging on people's religion. So a Utah company blames President Obama for 102 coal miners who get laid off. Derek, do we have that track?
President Obama kept his job, but a Utah coal company says it cut more than 100 because of the election. A statement released by Utah American Energy says the layoffs are necessary because of the president's war on coal. Their words. The Cato Institute disputes that, though, saying the Clean Air Act regulations do not cover existing coal plants. Nevertheless, now 102 miners at the West Ridge Mine in Carbon County are now looking for work.
Okay, so just an example of what's happening. Now, that's the coal industry, and we know what's going to happen in the next 4 years under coal. The EPA was already gearing up before the election to try and stifle coal. We need to be energy independent. That's not going to happen now, probably under Barack Hussein Obama. I wish it would. You know, people say you hate Obama. I don't hate him. I hate his ideas. I hate what he's doing. You know, I would be the most happy man on the planet if Barack Obama would take a stance this next 4 years that, you know what, I'm going to be open-minded. I'm going to work with you Republicans. Let's try it. I tried my way for 4 years. It didn't work. Let's try mixing it up a bit and working with it. Become a conservative, Obama. That's my challenge to you. Become a conservative. Put that leftist nonsense aside. It didn't work for 4 years. The economy is stagnant, and it's going to get worse if you continue it. Reach across the aisle. You said you would. You said you would 4 years ago, and you didn't. How about doing it this time? Reach out across the Boehner. Do something with him. How about fixing the housing market right off the bat by removing capital gains tax off of homes? Make people get out and buy homes. Get the people who have money buying up property. Let's dry up the market so that property values rebound. Then people can refinance because this HARP program of yours doesn't work. Nobody wants to work with it. But those are the kind of things Obama should do. He could go down in history as the greatest president ever if he would reach across the aisle and become a little more conservative, become a moderate for crying out loud. That's all I'm asking. Will he do that? I don't think so. But he could. Right now he's going to go down as a footnote in history as a president who presided over 8 years of bad economy. And he's going to go down as the worst president in history. And yet he won't reach across the aisle? We'll see. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll wait till the end of the year. If this fiscal cliff, fiscal cliff comes, you better hang on to your pocketbooks, folks, because you know what? Even those of us with secure jobs are probably going to find it hard to keep those jobs because Obamacare and if the Bush tax cuts expire and don't get put back into place, your taxes are going to go up. They're going to go up huge, 26%, I think they said in the program preceding us today. The CBO, which is the Congressional Budget Office, has come out with some of the costs of what's going to happen here. And what they're saying is basically what I just told you. Hang on to your pocketbook. The stock markets went down 3% since the election. The Interior Department is limiting oil shale development on federal lands. What did Obama say? Things are growing under him? They're not. Here's the fiscal cliff cost. Fiscal, F-I-S-C-A-L, fiscal cliff. It finds that unemployment would rise from 7.9 to 9.1% by the end of 2013 if the nation goes over this cliff. Pressure on Washington from financial markets also mounted Thursday as the Dow Jones went down 3%. I just said that. A day after Speaker John Boehner said he was willing to consider higher tax revenue as part of a lower deal, the White House was largely quiet on the crisis. What's going to happen here? I'm not sure. But I think it's not going to be good. The CBO is an independent arm of the government. They're supposed to be independent. What they found was as Obamacare was implemented, the figures are changing and getting worse. And the figures they're giving us now are showing the same amount. Democrats will point out that allowing tax rates to rise for households with annual incomes above $250,000 could save $1.6 million jobs. Really? Are they going to put a money on that? They will. It'll be your money. Harry Reid, though, has said he's not going to deal with any of this tax reduction nonsense. He wants to see it go up. Barack Obama standing firm on it going up. What each and every one of us needs to do. I know it's easy to get aggravated. It's easy to get disappointed and depressed over what's happened here. But you and I can do things that make a difference. I've said it before. Go to GaryWellings.com or go to CurrentOnline.com. I have the phone numbers and the emails for your congressmen, for your senators. And Debbie Stabenow is one that you really have to get hold of. I'm hoping after this election that she'll be a little more amenable to receiving calls from people. Not easy to get hold of, but you can email her. You can inundate her with faxes, old-fashioned. Do people even fax anymore, Derek? I don't know. I haven't had a fax machine in forever, it seems like. But we need to take this opportunity to continue the work. Call your congressman once a week. Once a week, just make that phone call, leave a message. You won't talk to the congressman, but if you leave a message once or twice a week, and everybody does that, they're going to start understanding that we're involved. It's the lack of involvement on our part that has caused society to break down, that's allowed our government to run away with spending because we don't hold them accountable. So make those phone calls, make those emails, keep hold of the reins. This is your government. You can control it. Even despite this election, you can control it. All right, our time's up. Thanks to all our callers and listeners. Keep up the good work, and we'll see you next week.